In the name of the loving, life-giving, liberating, one holy mystery, whom we call God. Please be seated. Don't let appearances deceive you. We often call Pentecost the birthday of the church, but I believe it's much more than that. The event that is narrated as the church's birthday is actually the birthday for all of creation, because the event narrated in Acts started as a process of transformation to which we humans, the most highly evolved species on the planet, could be liberated. A process of transformation from which we could be liberated from our dependence on appearances to reality and to truth. So don't let appearances deceive you. It was many years ago, during a most difficult time in our lives, in a place far from this one, when I discovered the secret. And I'm not talking about that best-selling self-help book that's based on manifesting the law of attraction in your life. I mean, it was a gift given with no effort on my part of trying to manifest anything at all. It had been a very, very rough few months. And this morning, just before the sun, and I'm on my way to work, and just before the sun touches the horizon, and my moon roof to the car is open to the sky, and my windows are turned down to the waking dawn, and it's not dark, but not fully light. And I was driving down a side street in our neighborhood to get to Interstate 45, when a thought arose out of nowhere. I'm enjoying myself this morning, and this is the way it's supposed to be, the thought said. Then, on its heels, God wants me to enjoy life, to enjoy being alive. And as quickly as the thoughts came, they went. But the feeling that accompanied them stayed with me the rest of the day. And as I recall, I had an excellent day that day. Whenever I remember this incident, I'm transported back to those feelings. And even though it felt like we were living in hell, you can't judge appearances by appearances. Don't let them deceive you. That was the day I learned a secret. I'd never been taught it by anyone, not even in the church. But it was this, that we are created to enjoy life and to share that life with each other, because God does. God enjoys life and shares it with us because that's what love does. Most of the time, though, we get sidetracked by disguises and appearances. Remember, you can't judge a book by its cover. Case in point, Jesus has been crucified and buried 3 days ago, and now everyone is wondering where the body went. The disciples realize that they will be confronted first, so they lock themselves up in a room. Perhaps the disciples are locked in the room together because they are afraid of what might happen to them now that Jesus' body can't be found. One commentator says they're even perhaps ashamed of their own fear of the cross, the very cross that their beloved friend has been murdered and killed on. They're afraid. The fear and the shame have them trapped there, alone, together. Fear and shame are both emotions that will steal your joy. And in my neck of the woods, our ancestors used to say, don't let nothing steal your joy. Like the disciples, when we feel ashamed, and certainly when we feel afraid, we want to hide. We're not who we want to be, or even who we pretend to be. So we hide ourselves from everybody else. We lock up. But the appearance of a locked door is only an appearance to God. Your book may be covered with fear and shame, but they are the covers, and you are the book. Jesus comes through that locked door speaking peace, be with you. And twice he says it, just in case they didn't get it the first time. Now, there are lots of meanings of peace. The peace of most English speakers is a mental calm or tranquility. It's most closely aligned with the Greek eirene, which means harmony, concord between persons, or freedom from conflict or war. But the Semitic languages are different. The Hebrew shalom goes even further to mean wholeness, soundness, health, well-being. And the Aramaic, of which our Lord Jesus and his disciples spoke, and all of those guys spoke at that time, and women, Aramaic, it's peace is shalama. It means whole, entire, full, complete, perfect. Not perfect the way we think of perfect, perfect in fullness. Closer to the way we think of well-being, when you feel good all over, just in being, not in having, in being. And so you see, for the Semitic persons, peace is more closely aligned to being whole. Jesus speaks peace to any fear or shame the disciples might have. He awakens them to the truth. And then he has even more to say. Just like I was sent, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I am sending you out the same way. And he exhales on them. Like a newborn taking their first breath after having breathed amniotic fluid all those months in the womb, just like they inhale air in a new atmosphere, so the disciples inhale and are reborn into an entirely new atmosphere. It's the atmosphere of love. Not what you're thinking. It's the atmosphere of desiring the highest good for an other, any other. Not only that, but they're also now created to know that God is in them. They have the power of God to forgive offenses and barriers that separate and divide in order to heal and make whole all peoples in unity. It's taken me quite a long time to begin to understand why forgiveness is tied so indelibly to the gift of the Holy Spirit. Of course, when you look at me, you might suspect why. I was raised in the Mississippi Delta during the Civil Rights era. But I believe forgiveness goes something like this. Without it, without forgiveness, there is separation between me and thee. That separation negates the truth that we are all one. If I exclude you from the unity of the reality of the whole, the one God, then I necessarily exclude myself. In fact, forgiveness is a prerequisite to loving another. The only commandment Jesus gave us: love God, love each other, love your neighbor, love yourself. And yet, it can be so difficult to let go of a hurt, a sorrow, or pain inflicted upon us. ML King Jr. said, "We love our enemies by developing and maintaining the capacity to forgive them. The one who is devoid of the power to forgive, to let go, is devoid of the power to love. It is impossible even to begin the act of loving without the prior acceptance of the necessity of over and over again forgiving those who inflict evil and injury upon us." Forgiveness means reconciling back into relationship. It does not mean that the pain wasn't inflicted. It does not mean that the wrong was all of a sudden right. It does not mean that it does not hurt. It does mean the event will not prevent me from being in loving relationship with you and from desiring your highest good. I will not be held captive by your sin. When Jesus gave the disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit and made them apostles, sending them out to proclaim that God is with you through the life, death, and resurrection of him, he gave that gift to us, the progeny, as well. We are inheritors of the gift of the Spirit who lives within us and among us. Love is forgiveness, and forgiveness is love, and both fill us with indescribable joy. And this is the new atmosphere of Pentecost. This is the new atmosphere of the world. With forgiveness, we can begin to imagine a spirit of love for everyone and everything in creation. We can desire the highest good for everybody and everything. This is the kind of love that inspires what we eat. Hear me now. This ain't just a thing up here. This is an all-over thing. It inspires what we eat. It inspires where we live, how we live, what we wear. When we know what's made in sweatshops, we choose not to wear it. And we choose to do something about it. It inspires how we disagree with each other. It inspires how we share opinions with each other. That's what Pentecost is about. And of course, getting to wear red. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which drives out fear and shame and transforms them into love. Love for ourselves and love for each other. Honey, you can't love nobody if you don't love yourself. You can't take care of nobody if you don't take care of yourself. Do what's good for you. It's not selfish. God wants you to. It's God saying in you, "Shouldn't you take a nap today?" Some of y'all know you need it. Jesus Christ gave to the frightened disciples in that locked room something that freed them from their appearances as a bunch of scared men and women of a once popular but now dead guru to become who they truly were. People who realized God with and in them, just like they were with and in God. Two sides of one coin. This is the gift being given to Ivy and Ezekiel today. This is the gift they're receiving at baptism. When we believe in Jesus, and what I mean by that is, when we trust him and trust his way in order to do what he did, we too share a life with purpose, the reason we're here. This may be difficult to imagine, And yet we must. If we really want the appearance of so much that we currently see in our lives together to change. If we want a different world, we've got to be different people. And at the end of the day, it's already in us. God is. Love is. Light is. Don't let your thinking confuse you. God is bigger than your thinking. God loves you more than you could ever love yourself. And we're all a part of that when we allow ourselves to let go and let God, to surrender to isness. If you don't know how, just ask. Trust me, trust God when God says through me, you have an entire spiritual team that is waiting to assist you, waiting to help you become who you truly are, a light bearer, a lover of truth, Christ in the world. Everybody in here, including those two, don't let appearances deceive you. You are so loved. Amen.